And so tonight, the topic is maybe an unusual topic. I want to preach on being thankful for temporal mercies. By far more important are our spiritual mercies. In fact, a book I want to recommend to you if you ever want to read on prayer, the best book on prayer ever written, in my opinion, was author W. Pinker, a book called Gleanings from Paul. That's one of the best books I've ever read, Gleanings from Paul. And you can get that on the internet. You can get it used copy. But that's a great book, Gleanings from Paul, the prayers of Paul. And in the introduction to that, he made it plain that much more important are spiritual blessings than natural blessings. Well, usually when we come to God, we really pray about natural blessings first. That's kind of our default. We need to pray about spiritual things first. And he even pointed out, even in the Lord's Prayer, the bottle prayer in Matthew 6, only one thing had to do with material blessings. Give us this day our daily bread. Every other request is a spiritual blessing. We have no idea how we ought to be thankful for our spiritual blessings. But I'm not going to preach on this tonight. I want to preach on temporal blessings, what I want to talk to you about. And hear what Gil said about praising God. Praising God. Praising God, having favor with all the people. Now, and this is where I got this expression from, the idea of my sermon, thanking God for temporal blessings. Not only their temporal mercies and enjoyments of life, which they partook of in so delightful and comfortable a manner, but for their spiritual mercies that the Lord had been pleased to call them by his grace. So he's talking about spiritual mercy today. I was like, old Gil, he preaches a sermon on every verse it's about. Me and my boys get tickled at Gil sometimes. They'll call me, I'll call them. And we love old Gil, but boy, he can really roll on. He can preach, I got a full of spirit. Their spiritual mercies that the Lord had been pleased to call them by his grace and reveal Christ to them and pardon them who had been such vile sinners, give them a name and a place in his house, and favor them with the ordinances of it, and such agreeable and delightful company as the saints who they had fellowship with. He's talking about those spiritual blessings. He also mentioned temporal blessings. So that's what I want to talk about. Temporal blessings. I think the first thing I want to do is to read you a psalm. I thought it was in the PBH, but it's not. It's in the old school hymn. If it's in the PBH, I couldn't find it. For the beauty of the earth. Hope you'll pay good attention tonight. I want God to make an impact on you. I want to be thankful for our temporal blessings. We got lots of temporal blessings as well as spiritual blessings. And kids, I don't want to buy temporal blessings, just the things we enjoy in our lives. So let me read this. For the beauty of the earth. I don't think it's in the PBH, but it's in the old school hymnal. So pay attention to me. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, for the day and for the night, of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and starry light, Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. To thee we raise. Isn't that great? Just what we call regular old blessings. And also we'll read number 49. We sang this song this morning. We don't sing it very often. So it struck me. So number 49, if you want to get your book out, look at it. It's number 49 in the PBH. So I'm going to read that song to you. We have so much to be thankful for. And we couldn't even thank count your blessings. If you'll say that for the last one, it'd be okay with me. Thank you, Lord, with joyful heart. Number 49. Thankful, Lord, with joyful heart, who does wondrous things in part. I won't read the court every time this time. Unto him be glory given, who is Lord of earth and heaven. who to us salvation brings, counsel and king, a counselor and king of kings, who with wisdom did prepare for our use the world so fair. Isn't that great? He prepared the world for us. If you read over Isaiah 48, he made the world to be inhabited. The Lord made the world to be inhabited. Evolutionists, call your office. God of heaven, to thee we raise ceaselessly our songs of praise. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'm going to go to the scriptures some, and a couple other things I want to talk to you about. I don't know how long I'll be. I'm not up here for a long time just to be talking, but I hope you'll get this. My friend, God is so good to us. He's so good, it's amazing. And we're so ungrateful most of the time. I know we're grateful in a way. I'm not fussing anybody tonight. I want to be more and more and more and more and more grateful. Look over in 1 Timothy 6:17. Just a few expressions here. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them, the rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. How about that for expression? Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Do your parents, I know you're supposed to feed and clothe your kids. I think all y'all are doing that. Sometimes if my grandkids don't wear shoes, I came with my granddaughters, they said, you'll sure take up a collection, buy some shoes. But this guy would go without shoes if it's 30 below zero. He's a tough little rascal. But anyway, God is so good to us, isn't he? He just blesses us all the time. Amazing. We take everything for granted. And, okay, what I'm going to say is, though, you've got to feed and clothe your kids, but don't you like to do extra things for your kids? Sure you do. I've seen y'all surprise your kids with extra presents. God does that for us. I think he enjoys that. I'm going to give him like a special blessing. Looks like he kind of down today. I'm going to give him a special present. How often does he do that to us? Something good happened to us. Somebody speaks a word to us. I remember one time I was walking in Galloway Golf Course like I used to do a lot. And I just kind of down. I don't know why I was down. I was just journey down. Some guy I've never seen but one time in my life. I remember his face. He had a big smile. Was real friendly. He said, man, it's a great day, isn't it? Good to see you. Made my day. My friend God, he got ways to cheer us up. God, he wants us to be happy. You think God wants us to be sad? Some people think Christianity is kind of an old, dour religion. It's a happy religion. The Lord said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We get to think about our blessing. We ought to do some rejoicing. Okay, that's a good one. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now look down at Acts 14:17. Now these are basic things. I'm going to mention some real down-to-earth basic things in a minute. This is one of Paul's prayers to a bunch of pagans here in the 14th chapter of Acts, after Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. How about that? He taught us everybody, not just his children. Isn't that something? My friend, everybody in this world owes God allegiance. We owe him double allegiance. Everybody owes God allegiance as a creator. We owe him double allegiance as a creator and as a redeemer. We got two reasons to praise the Lord. But I'll read that to you again. Paul preaching to these pagans. He says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven. What would we do if the rain stopped? We'd have a famine. And fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Isn't that great? He filled our hearts with food and gladness. It's amazing. You know what? It's amazing. We're so used to eating well. We don't know what it's like. Kids, I wish that y'all knew how faithful y'all be to eat good food. You can ask Isaac or Timothy, either one. That food those kids eat in India is amazing. They get a little bit of meat once a week, those orphans. A little bit of meat. It's pretty tough meat, too. I never ate any real good meat in India. It's really a tough piece of meat once a week. But they're even glad to get what they get. Their rice and stuff like they get every day, that kind of sloppy-looking stuff they get. They like that because some of them don't even get that. It's a blessing to have the food that we eat. Now, let me just tell you some other things we ought to be thankful for. Are you ready for this? The ability to eat. I may be talking about food last night, but food is real important to me. It's important to you, too, if you'll admit it. It's real important. I'm going to tell you about, I came by it honest. I can't help it. It's built in my genes. My brother used to hang around Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe was Danny's brother. He was the last brother living. And so Lewis hung around a lot. And they go on vacation. Lewis said, oh, Uncle Joe, they'd eat breakfast at this place. He said, look, we're going to eat lunch. They'd eat lunch. We're going to eat supper. Well, that's my genes. So food's important. It's important to you, too. Let me tell you how important it is. The ability to eat is a blessing. Pray for Susan Temple. She can't eat a hamburger. She can't chew. She can't swallow. She got a tube in her stomach. How do you like that? Hassel Wallace said, that, hey, my father in the ministry, he loved to eat. Brother Hassel had a big appetite. I've been with him a lot of times. The first time we went to Wendy's, he ate two triple burgers. He liked to eat. He got to where that he could not eat because he could not swallow. Sister Biggie Braddock, when she got kind of Alzheimer's, she couldn't remember to swallow. So she couldn't eat anymore. So the very fact, I'm talking about temporal blessings. They're important. Susan would amen me if she's here today. It's important to be able to eat. What about the ability to see? We can see. My eyesight's not what it used to be, but I can still see. Daniel Crohn can't see. Daniel Crohn's never seen anything. He's born blind. But he's a happy fellow. He doesn't complain. He makes do. Fanny Crosby was not born blind. She went blind pretty early. And she had some people who taught her scriptures. She had a good mind. I looked at the songs Fanny Crosby wrote. She was happy in the Lord. But my friend, I'm glad I got my eyesight. Thank God for the ability to be able to see. That's one of the temporal blessings that God had given us. You think about other physical blessings. You kids don't know what it is. Most of you don't. Well, you've been hurt somebody. You've broke a few limbs and stuff like that. But you don't know what it is for what some of our old people go through. Sometimes they have some strokes. Sometimes they have other disabilities. Rachel's mama had a rough time before she died. Sister Patty had a pretty hard time. Sister Helen had a pretty hard time before she died. I don't know what we all before we die. So when you got a body to function, thank God for it. Everyone will get up and say, Lord, thank you for my body. I want to use it in your service. I want to do what Paul said, that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit which belong to God. If you got a mind that works, thank God God gave you that mind, my friend. When you get older, they slow down also. Use those young minds to serve God Almighty. Read the Word of God. Memorize Scriptures. Do good things in your mind that God has given to you. Well, thank God for that. All right, something else. We don't know what it is to not have any wealth. We don't know what, you know, Sister Patty, one of the things we used to like to talk to her about was the Depression days. She lived back during the Depression. Most of those people are dead now. So you may have heard some of the tales. Oscar Davis was Judy's granddaddy. I loved old Oscar. He's kind of a roughshod old guy, but I loved old Oscar. He loved the Lord. I got to see him baptized at Fort Smith. I'll never forget that. I got to preach down there. I still remember what I preached on, which is kind of unusual. But old Oscar was something else. Old Oscar Davis, when even he was a boy, was so poor, kid. Let's get this now. He was so poor, when he walked to church, he went barefooted because he wanted to save his shoes, and he had to wash his feet in the creek and go to church to put his shoes on. Later on during the Depression, he had to use bailing wire as shoe string to hold his shoe together. He worked like a dog during the Depression for 50 cents a day or less to support his family. We're so affluent today. I'm glad we're affluent, but if we don't be careful, we really do take it for granted. We do take it for granted. Lynn Bruce. I checked it today. I got that t-shirt that she had made up or somebody had made it for her. So I want to check it, make sure what it said. Here's a young lady who had been mutilated by cancer operations. She suffered unbelievable, and we all know some of the things she suffered. I have no idea how she really suffered. I mean, it's amazing she's still alive. But I'll tell you two things about her. One thing that thrilled me about Lynn was this. She said, Brother Zach, you think about now somebody who's had all kind of chemotherapy and surgery and pain and things like that. She said, Brother Zach, God controls every cell of my body. He's always good. But let me tell you what she said in a practical way. On the back of that t-shirt, there's some graces on the front, but I think grace, mercy, and peace on the front. On the back it says, live for the glory of God and enjoy every sandwich. She meant that, didn't she? Enjoy your blessings you have in your everyday life and glorify God because of it. You know, one time there's one of these guys, I think it's Richard Warren Braun, that was the martyr that spent a lot of time in prison over in Romania. After he was released, he came to the United States. He went to a pastor's conference. Now to some real fancy cafe. Cafeteria. And so these guys were even embarrassed to ask the blessing. You know what Warren Brown did? He climbed on top of the table after the blessing out loud. And if you got a man in prison as hungry as I was, you would thank God for your food. I don't care where you're at, my friend. Do it in a loud voice if you want to. It wouldn't hurt anybody. They ought to hear that anyway. Don't be like an old hog that never looks up to the sky to see where the acorns came from that fell off the oak tree that he eats. He's just a thinking hog. We don't need to be those kind of people. We need to be grateful people for our basic blessings, for our temporal blessings. All right, let me read you about old Sledge. I did this one time before. We'll hear it again. This guy named Sledge. I'm going to buy a book one of these days called The Old Breed. The Old Breed. This guy was not old when he wrote this. He was on Okinawa. You can't imagine. It makes you sick to even tell about what's called Okinawa. Maggot-eating bodies, body pieces everywhere, smell. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But that's not why I'm reading this. I'm going to get the book. But here's what I want to this. In Okinawa, Sledge spent 2 straight weeks marching with sore, slimy feet, trapped inside a soaking wet socks. When he finally got a chance to dry out and remove them, pieces of dead skin peeled off with his socks. Yet he couldn't have been more appreciative of the reprieve. It was the kind of experience that would make a man sincerely grateful for the rest of his life for clean, dry socks. As simple a condition as dry socks seemed a luxury. Understandably then, once back home, he struggled to comprehend people who griped because America wasn't perfect. We see the streets full of people marching like this today. Or their coffee wasn't hot enough. Or they had to stand in line and wait for a train or a bus. After all, he and his buddies had sacrificed. We just wished that people back home could understand how lucky they were and stop complaining about trivial inconveniences. I kind of step on my own toes sometimes. All right, look over at Micah chapter 4, verse 4. This is what, my friend, we have. This is what we have. We have this today. At my home, we get to have some people over and eat and have a good time. Probably most of y'all do the same thing. We do it often, don't we? Don't we? We have family time. We have birthday parties. We have holiday seasons. We're blessed mightily right now. So let me read you Micah chapter 4, verse 4. But they shall, I love this picture. I love this picture. They shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree. You ever read that before? Under his vine, his fig tree. And none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Now, right now we can do that. We may not be able to do it all the time. We may have some kind of persecution. Right now we can sit under our vine, under our fig tree. Let me tell you what Gil said about that. But they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree. A proverbial phrase. That's a proverbial phrase expressive of the greatest tranquility. Just great tranquility. Security and enjoyment of property. When persons need not keep within their walled towns and cities and lock themselves up in their houses, may sit down in their gardens, fields, and vineyards, enjoy the fruit thereof. It's usual for people in the eastern countries to sit under their vine and fig trees to read, meditate, pray, or convert together. We all do that. We've all got our vine and fig trees. Maybe not have fancy houses, don't live. I'll tell you what though, every one of you now, friend, people in you think you live, they think all Americans are rich. Right, Isaac? All of us are rich. All of us are rich. You should have seen where Gunnar was raised. I went over there one time. I tell you, what a hut. What a hut. You know what old Gunnar did? I'll tell you what, it's amazing. When he was first married, he was a missionary for another group. He lived a yurkod this up on the mountain. And he told me about that. What I thank God for him about was he wanted to learn English. I believe God put that on him or we couldn't have the ministry we have with him now. And he and Mary would be in that place and he'd got a little candlelight. He'd study English at nighttime after he'd gone to bed. He said it rained. They had to go over a little corner of the place because most of the place was wet because it had leaks in it. We don't have to worry about that. We went to Siberia. You talk about those little bitty apartments. You walk up the stairs, they're all concrete, ugly old communist era stuff, and you walk in that staircase and you just knock down by secondhand smoke. Just like, just the old cedar stuff. And they get up there, my friend, they wash their clothes in their bathtub, and the way they wash their clothes, and hang them out on a balcony to dry. And sometimes three or four families living in the same apartment. Still today, my friend, even after communism has not really disappeared, but not what it used to be. Isn't that amazing? We had no idea. In most countries, my friend, many countries, they had multi-generational families have to live together. We get mad sometimes. We ain't got a big enough bedroom. I remember one time I went to South Carolina, I preached at a place. And this guy had this great big house. I mean, a big old house. Had so many bedrooms, looked like in a motel. And he told me, he said, you know, this really meant a curse to be in this house. And we were in a small house, and my kids all had to be in the same bedroom. And that's what we used to be. We had one time three bunk beds, because we had a bunch of kids. Three bunk, upper deck bunks. Y'all remember that, kids? Three upper deck, I mean, two deck bunks. But anyway, he told me when my kids were all jammed together, they loved each other. And now they get to where they get their own room. It's almost like they got a sign hanging on the outside that said, do not disturb. They're not as close as they used to be. So you enjoy what you got. You enjoy what you got. Okay, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing to this world. That's Bill Gates. That's Warren Buffett. That's all of them. All of them. That's the big media. That's Mark Zuckerberg. That's Jeff Bezos, all these cotton pickers. They think they're flying high. My friend, one instant, they won't have a dime. If they ain't got God, they're really in trouble. But godliness, with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing to this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment. That means food and clothes. It doesn't mean just good food. It just means food. Let us be there with content. But we have to learn it. I know we have to learn that. I realize that. Over and over again, we're sinners. So Paul said in Philippians 4, 11 and 12, not that I speak in respect of want. Church of Philippi, thanking God for their money. But not, he said, not because I want it. He's using it to pay rent on that. His own rented house under household arrest. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I've learned. Now let's learn something, folks. Let's ask God to help us learn it. And mamas and daddies, talk about this to your kids. The kids, you listen to your mom and daddies. I'm glad you got good food. Keep eating it. I'm gonna keep eating it as long as I can. I've learned, whatsoever state I am, there to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to, when I can't have anything, and cause sometimes Paul even hungry. I know what it is to abound. Everywhere and all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Isn't that great? Isn't that just wonderful? Now let's read Psalm 128. My friend, God's good to us, isn't he? Our own vine and our own fig tree. Go to bed and think about that tonight. Say, oh, this is great. Ha ha. So I'm going to think about being in my own vine, my own fig tree, my own backyard, my own porch, my own living room. Free. Right now, free anyway. Don't worry about the future. God gets that in his hand. He gives what we need. But right now, enjoy it. You kids enjoy being home with your parents. You won't be there very long. And parents, you enjoy your kids. You don't have them very long. You know what, kids? Enjoy your brothers and sisters. You don't have them very long. You think they're forever? No, they're not. I married you when you're 17. I don't recommend it for y'all. I recommend it for me. It worked out great for me. But you think about that. Her mom didn't have her for 17 years. She was gone. Some of you kids are getting that, almost that old now. Some of you are older than that. You brothers and sisters, you love each other. You won't be together like that forever. Enjoy your families. In fact, Brother Jared, pray for Brother Jared. He's trying to slow down a little bit. He sent us a text. He said, I think I'm going to put off building a house for maybe a year. Just kind of, I said, great. You and Sarah, smell the roses together. Smell the roses. I'm telling y'all all, smell the roses. Smell the coffee if you like coffee, but the roses are even prettier, aren't they? Enjoy life. Don't get so stinking busy, wrapped up that you can't enjoy each other. God gave you family. He gave you husband and wife. He gave you children. He gave us grandkids. God wants to richly enjoy each other and love each other. Pay attention to each other. We get so busy in this time of social media, we don't even love each other anymore. Isn't it amazing to see? A guy told me, well, I heard a guy preach this time. He said, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I was in a shopping mall, and a bunch of kids were sitting around one of these food malls. And they were sitting there, about 15 kids that were buddies and friends. Not a one of them was talking to each other. Every one of them on their dead blame phone. Why is somebody more important on the phone than they are when you talk to them face to face? I want to tell some people, put that thing down and pay me some attention. I don't want to say that. So I'll probably say it sometime. I may embarrass you. I'm serious. My friend, we have to be careful in the age we live in to not be swept up with stuff like that. We need to show each other personal attention. I really appreciate what Isaac did today. He showed Isaiah how to shake hands with somebody. And that's a good lesson. He said, Isaiah, now look me in the eye. You shake my hand, you look him in the eye and give a firm grip. And old Isaiah did it. Boy, he got a pretty good grip even his age, by the way. He was a good friend. You all pretty better. You got to have a good forearm. We'll get back to handshake. You remember Abby-Oop? That's a cartoon. He had a little arm, a great big forearm. Sister Sandra got a good grip, by the way. She'll break your hand, don't want you. But the point I'm making is, look him in the eye. Let's look each other in the eye. Talk to each other. Husband and wives. Don't just, well, I'm talking to her back because she got something going. I know she got to cook and all that, but sometimes turn around and face me and let's talk together a little bit. I'm serious, but this is important stuff. It's kind of funny, but it's very important. These are wonderful blessings, temporal blessings, God given us. The ability to communicate is wonderful. So let's use it to communicate with each other. Let's read Psalm 128. What a glorious picture. Now, I'm like Ida. Ida can write about that. He said in Proverbs today, they're general truths. They're not university truths. They're just general truths. The general truth is, if you bring your children up right, when they're old, they won't depart from it. But that doesn't always happen. The Bible's got general truths. So I'm going to read you one. It's a general truth. It's not true to everybody, but it's a general truth. It's Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walketh in his ways. To hear the individual that's walking in the Lord, walking in his way, they're fearing him. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. What a blessing, eat the labor of your hands. Are you able to work? Thank God for it. Kids, I don't want a lazy person to be Red Chapel. It's not right to be lazy. You know, Danny Daddy's my old African American buddy. He loves to work. There's something about work that's good for you. God made us to work. In the Garden of Eden, they had it made. They worked even then, dressed the garden. But after that, they had the curse, but it's still good that man works. You do the best you can what you're doing. Don't be lazy. There's something fulfilling about putting in a good day's work. Something fulfilling about that. But it's good we eat the labor of our hands. See, what happened sometime in Israel, they worked it hard, they had a crop, and then guess what? The Philistines came and got their crop. How do you think they felt? I worked all season and to feed my family, and these stinking Philistines come in and confiscate my crop. So he says, we are able to eat the labor of our hands. Happy shalt thou be, and shall be well with thee. Then he gives a beautiful domestic scene. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine the side of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Just a sweet little scene. A sweet little scene. Let the world make fun of families if they want to. My friend, the family, the first unit that God made. And this transgender, homosexual, perverted generation, they hate the family. They hate it. A lady said one time on radio, I said, she got it right. The family is the bullseye on the devil's target. That's the truth. So you guard your families. You enjoy your families. You kids cooperate in your families. You're going to be teenagers, you steal that family. I told some of you kids that got short mamas, when you look down like you say, yes, ma'am, just like that. You still say, yes, ma'am. Maybe taller than they are. I'm serious. You all thank God for a good family of kids. Listen, not everybody's got a good family. You've all got good mothers and daddies. They love you. They provide for you. They teach you about the Lord. They want you to memorize scripture. You ought to thank God for that. My mama's been dead since 1960. I still write up every day and call her blessed. My daddy's been dead since 1965. I write up every day and call my daddy blessed. It's one of the best blessings that God ever gave me with a good mom and daddy who brought me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's one of the best blessings you'll ever have, too. You ought to thank God. And let them know you love them and honor them. Thy wife shall be the fruitful vine the side of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace on Israel. That's on Tony Machiavelli's grave. You know why it's on there? Tony was kind of a warrior. And the reason he was a warrior was he was raised, he had some hard things in his life. He was born in Spain, a Roman Catholic, very devout Roman Catholic. They came to the United States. His dad was a good machinist, so he came here, came through Ellis Island, the way they used to do it, the right way. He loved the United States a lot. Hey, he loved it so much, he would not have a bilingual house. I wish he had done that now. He wouldn't speak Spanish. He wouldn't speak English. I wish we had people today that love our country that much. But Judy would have been bilingual. She still speaks Spanish some. But anyway, the point I'm making is that he was very devout. He even burned candles for his mother so she wouldn't have such a rough time in purgatory. He loved the Lord so very much. But anyway, his mama died. He was young. She had got TB and died. So he brought up with a stepmother. So he was a warrior. So one time he got sick or something. I forgot what it was. He by himself, he got down in his back real bad. Couldn't get up, something like that. And God gave him Psalm 128. See, he's always afraid. I won't live long enough to raise my family. That used to worry him. And so anyway, he loved that psalm so much. He claimed that only God blessed him to do it. See? That's why it's on his grave. Hear what it says. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. And he did a piece of all Israel. I'm not saying God speaks to everybody like that, but Tony said, God, you're speaking to me. But God can speak that way. All right, now look, two more things, I'll be through. I hope you've listened. I really do. I love you so much. I love God so much. I want to appreciate my temporal blessings more. Spiritual blessings even better than that. How about that? You ain't got another hour because we would do that. But if we did, we could really rock and roll, couldn't we? We could get it, couldn't we? Spiritual blessings. Regeneration. Hallelujah. Sister Ann Sanders, where's my amen? Immediate regeneration. Holy Ghost regeneration. Redemption. Redemption. Blow by blood. Heading for heaven. Sin behind his back. Adopted children of God Almighty. Woo. We're blessed. That's a good old Bible that God has preserved for us through this year and even had translated into our language that we have. Not like the picture I've got that saved on my computer. A real picture back in the medieval time when Bibles were almost inaccessible. And you've seen this, I know you see this picture. It's a great big Bible chained to the pulpit so nobody else sees it. And the preacher's reading, and people sat all around the pulpit, their ears just like that, listening to him read. I bet they just memorized it, don't you? They'd have a Bible to take home. I bet, let them say it again. Let them say it again. I want to take that home. How about that? We got so many blessings. Friends like you, to be able to meet this subculture. By the way, Christianity has always been a subculture. My kingdom, not this world. Don't worry about being a subculture. But let's encourage each other in the subculture we're in. And not only that, don't only be inward, also outward. Let our light so shine before men, my friends, that they see our good works and glorify our Father. A lot of y'all are doing it. In fact, probably all of you do that more than you think you are. This church has got a good reputation. I thank God for it. People tell me that all the time. I love your kids. I love your church members. I love the way they love their families. People tell me that all the time. My hat's off to you for that. You're not trying to do it. Just go ahead and live right, and your light will be shining. And you'll be salt of the earth and encouragement to other people. And wherever you are, do right. You heard me say this lots of times. But I'm going to say it again. You kids may find yourself in some compromising situations. Like if old Kendall goes off to McKinney up there, and on that football scholarship, he might be in a pretty bad situation. Some of you kids may be in a bad situation. But you look Scarlett up there at the Inawama Junior College, bad situation. But she let her light shine. And when Nathan was going and playing basketball over here at that school over there, Crichton College, he's the only one on the team that had any morality about him. The only one. He was not self-righteous. They loved Nathan. I've seen him. They loved old Nathan. He's not preaching to them, but he lived right in front of them. And a lot of those guys said, Nate, we wish you to live like you live. He still got friends among them. He had influence on them. David McAvoy one time went to work for the guy that lived across the street, old Mike White over there. Mike was a contractor. David, a young man, you young men, listen to this, you can resist temptation. He's a young man, you're subject to pressure. So you listen to me, William, it may happen to you someday. So they go off on the first day, he's thrilled to have this good job working for a contractor. On the way home, they stop off at a beer joint. They all hop in there to get some beer. And old David wouldn't go in. They tried their best to get him to go in, made fun of him. He wouldn't do it. They respected David. Okay? Let me tell you about my cousin, James Rushing. He got drafted into the Navy. Drafted in the Navy? Army? No, Navy. In fact, you look up your history, 1957, Suez Canal crisis. And after he drafted you out of the Navy, he got drafted. He made up his mind before he went, I'm going to live for God, and my friend, he did. They gave him a fit. His shipmates, they called him deacon and preacher, but it's a lot worse than that. They called a lot worse stuff than that. They gave him a fit. Hey, the day he got discharged, you're walking down the gangplank. The man at the other ship said, "Rushing, come here." He said, "Oh boy, I'm getting another cussing out." He said, "Rushing, let me tell you something. We've given you a hard time for these last 2 years." He said, "But every man on this ship respects you. You live that way, my friend. They respect you too. Let's let that light shine. You can resist temptation. You can." Gabe Jones, he had a great witness up there at Parris Island of all places, those old rough Marines. He had a real good witness, living right. You can do that too. We gotta all do that. We gotta all do that. So let me give you two scriptures I'll be through. One of them is over 1 Kings. You know what I'm gonna read this. Why don't you pray for this to happen? That's what we want. So far, God's given it to us. It's a temporal blessing. Let's enjoy it. We're praying for kings, for those that are authority. We may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's under your vine fig tree. We're going to live a quiet and peaceable life. That's all we want in it, at all godliness and honesty. So let's pray that God will give us that. Now, my final one is this. There's a warning, because we are prone to sin. So you remember this is 10:10, 1 Corinthians 10:10. And God gives you some examples about the Old Testament when people didn't do right and they got in trouble. So let's look at this. This is my last thing I will say. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, were destroyed in the destroyer. Those children of Israel, that God does not like murmuring. He's good to us. You know God's a generous God. You realize how generous He is? He started out generous. In the Garden of Eden, think about this, He started out generous. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest give me the next word. Free to eat. Free to eat. For the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's not even it. One tree, my friend, eat all you want. When he gives wisdom, he told over there in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men, what's the word? Liberally, and upbraideth not. We got a generous God. Let's thank him for it.